Implementing a development strategy presents several deep challenges of governance. The first and most basic challenge is to ensure that politics and policy choices actually support development. Before World War II, imperial rule by Europe over much of Africa and Asia was a major obstacle to development, since the imperial powers were interested in exploiting natural resources in the colonies rather than in their long-term economic development. Once independence was achieved, the newly independent states had to take on the challenge of good governance. Governance could fail for many reasons: civil strife, massive corruption, ethnic divisions, the concentration of power in the hands of a narrow, unaccountable elite, and more. Bad policy choices were also an obvious threat. Many well-intentioned leaders of poorer countries simply made poor policy decisions, for example, by adopting state ownership of farms and factories and imposing trade barriers that blocked the inflow of technologies. Even when governance is good, however, another major challenge remains: public finance. Successful development requires public investments, but governments in impoverished countries are too cash-strapped and too indebted to finance the requisite investments. When the government is unable to build roads, a power grid, and other basic infrastructure, the private sector languishes. The result is a fiscal poverty trap in which poverty leads to low public investments, and low public investments reinforce poverty. This kind of fiscal collapse is one of the most important causes of economic development failures in the poorest countries. The fiscal trap is all the more debilitating because the poorest countries face geographical obstacles that cry out for remedial investments, but those investments are simply unaffordable. A fiscal collapse is also often a cause of subsequent poor governance. When the government lacks the revenues to ensure basic needs, it loses legitimacy in the population and is unable to prevent extreme factional infighting or even to defend against internal insurrection and coups. Diagnosing development failures. Only the developing countries in the East and Southeast Asia have systematically achieved economic development at rapid and sustained rates in the past 50 years. Other regions, notably South Asia, have more recently picked up the pace. Africa has fallen backward in extreme poverty, and Latin America, though richer than both Asia and Africa, has also languished for decades without a decisive breakthrough. Identifying the bottlenecks to faster progress and mobilizing policies to overcome those bottlenecks constitute the greatest challenges of development economics. In The End of Poverty, I describe this identification process as a differential diagnosis akin to clinical medicine and suggest a systematic template that could be useful to carry it out. What follows is a snapshot tour of some of the overarching challenges faced by major world regions. In Latin America, the main obstacles are probably social divisions and economic strategy rather than basic geography or disastrous governance, though there certainly has been some of that as well. Latin American societies tend to be divided by race, ethnicity, and class. For centuries, the populations of European descent ran the show and displayed scant interest in the education, health, and economic well-being of indigenous Amerindians or Afro-Latin descendants of former slaves. The result was sharp social conflict and chronic underinvestment in education, skills, and public health. Politics oscillated between a populist left appealing to the masses and an authoritarian right defending the privileges of the rich. At the same time, the elites underestimated the importance of investing in technology and higher education, since they were used to living off the income from natural resources and vast farms. The result has been a long period of economic stagnation in Latin America from the 1970s until recently. Things are finally beginning to change. Old class and ethnic cleavages are diminishing under the force of democracy. Politicians are responding not only to traditional elites, but also to society more broadly. The case for education and investments in knowledge is much better appreciated throughout the region. While populism and instability remain a threat, there is also a real prospect of Latin America finally taking up the challenge of mass education and the transformation to a high-tech society. Most of Asia, by contrast, has been achieving rapid economic growth for the past 15 years and sometimes longer. Back in the 1960s and 1970s, East Asia and much of South Asia had already succeeded in making the transition from subsistence to commercial economies. In the past quarter century, they have taken another step up the development ladder as they transform themselves from largely agricultural economies to industrial and service sector economies. Massive inflows of foreign investment and technology are fueling spectacular growth. Basic infrastructure is in place through most of the region, and wherever it is in place, economic growth tends to be very rapid. Policy leaders have relentlessly focused on technological advance and thus have fast-forwarded the region into the information age.